Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
All right, everybody, are you ready for it this morning? Nothing like studying the scripture, meeting God in the middle of his Bible, and letting him talk to us about things that really do affect our actual everyday lives. Today, we're actually in part two of this sermon series called You Asked for This. And in fact, you did. Earlier this year at Easter, we took a spiritual survey and then asked you for the things that are on your mind you'd like to do a Bible study on. We took the categorical responses back, and the top four or five of those we coalesced into this particular series to talk to you about what God's Word says about what's on your mind. And apparently, a lot of you wanted to know what we're talking about today, so we're going to talk about sexuality and roles in marriage. That's right, sex in church is going to be good. This is kind of an indirect heads up for parents who may have tender ears in here. We do have a PG-13 environment here. We've got fifth and sixth graders are available. They're having their own class out there, and younger kids even in their world, because here in the auditorium we actually get real with stuff. And so I'll try to be delicate in some of these areas, but we are going to talk straight up about sexuality and roles in marriage. And so I thought it'd be fun to look at a story that I heard as we explore this about roles in marriage, about a man who died and went to heaven to find two signs above two different lines of people. One sign said, "All those men who have been dominated by their wives, stand here." That line seemed to stretch off into the clouds into infinity. The second sign read, "All those who have never been dominated by their wives, stand here." Underneath that sign stood one man. So this guy who just went to heaven went over to that man and grabbed his arm and said, "Man, what's the secret? How did you do it? I mean, the other line has millions of men, and you're the only one standing in this line." The man looked around with a puzzled expression and said, "Why, I'm not really sure I know how. My wife just said, stand here." It's kind of funny. We're going to have a little bit of fun with this as we talk about different roles and the dynamics of sexuality and marriage. I do want to say right off the top, though, that we're going to laugh a little bit, but the truth is the distortion in many people's minds about both of these two areas causes real and devastating pain. And so as we're going through this today, I want you to understand some of it will be a little bit light and there'll be some levity in it. Others are going to actually have some gravity to it. But what I want you to understand is God's word has something specific to say about both of these big areas. And so I want to start today with really what's behind all of it, and that is the way we approach what life is all about. Look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. It says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things," so God created all things, "and for thy pleasure they are and were created." That particular verse in the book of Revelation helps us realize that everything that is created was created for God's pleasure. Selah. Pause and reflect. In other words, we in America, especially the Western church, are really heavily influenced by the idea that I deserve everything. It's all about me. And God is saying, wait a second, it's all created for God and his pleasure. Now, the truth is we as his created beings actually experience something pleasurable. It's called blessings. So write this down. Everything was created for God's pleasure, number one. And then number two, we experience the pleasure of God's blessing when we live in obedience to him and the order he created things to operate in. All right, so everything was created for God's pleasure, but we get the blessing, which is a pleasurable experience, when we actually flow with God's created order. Does that make sense, everyone? So I want to just say right off the bat that if we go God's way, we get the benefit of that. So we're going to look at how God describes the way he created sexuality and roles to operate in the context of marriage. But before we go anywhere else, let's pray. Now, Lord, be with us by the Holy Spirit. Help us comprehend in our understanding, not just what our brain thinks, but our understanding how you want us to see this so we can align our lives with you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. As we're starting off today, this topic may have touched about half of you from the perspective of, well, since I'm not married, this message doesn't have anything to do with me. And I'm saying you couldn't be further from the truth. The reality is sexuality and roles touches everybody, especially in the land we live in today and the confusion of our culture. And so I'm going to ask that you would especially tune in today and let God's wisdom from his word actually provide direction to you and the choices you make in the life you live. So even if you're not married, the truth is God's going to talk to you about the boundaries of sexuality and how to actually work within that. And secondly, it may be that God wants to give you wisdom so that you can share with others when you see that they're suffering in some of these ideas too. Does that make sense, everyone? So I believe it's for everybody, so let's lean in and talk about this. Considering sexuality, Jesus is very clear about the context sexuality was created to be expressed in. Jesus wasn't confused. In fact, this is the way he said it. Mark chapter 10, verses 6 through 8 says, "At the beginning of creation, God made them male," everyone say male, "and female. Then he says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." So here's what we're saying. Write this down. God created sexuality to be expressed between one man and one woman in the context of a marriage covenant. All right? So God's not confused. He didn't create it to be explored and expressed between men. He didn't create it to be explored and expressed between women. He didn't create it to be explored and expressed between groups of people. It was always in the context of one man, one woman, in the context of a marriage covenant. Everyone say covenant, which means exclusive in covenant. All right? So when it comes down to that, let's talk about this. I know the culture that we lived in has found lots of creative ways to get around that idea. Think about what we've just experienced as a nation for the first time in our history. The highest law in the land, the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court of the United States, actually redefined what the current expression of marriage is. In other words, we've completely thumbed our nose at God and said, we couldn't care less what you, Creator, said marriage is about. We're going to redefine it. And so the created told the creator, this is how we're going to do it. There's no future in that. The created never has the authority or power actually to redefine how things are created to be. God's the one that decided that because he created it that way. Yes or no? So the truth is, a lot of people in the culture we lived in are truly confused by what they see in the prevailing political environments, the media. It's all kind of messaging about this, but God isn't confused at all. He's very clear about it. And the blessing we enjoy when we follow God's word is we get to experience the blessings of what he created it to be. Could you do other things? Sure, you can choose to do anything. There's no technical law in the land against some of those things, but outside the law of God's created order, you're going to suffer the consequences. I don't know how else to say it. But here's the cool thing. Everyone say cool thing. When it comes to sex, God is loving the idea. God is not a Quaker, Puritan, tall-hatted, stuffed-up, prude. He loves the idea of sex between a husband and a wife. He created it. In fact, it's fantastic. He created it to be a mind-blowing experience. But here's the point. I want you to hear this. It has less to do... Is that my mom? Tell her I said hello. I don't know who that was, but that happens to me too. So anyway, but where was I at? I have ADD at the moment. All right, in closing. No, God's view about sex may actually shock you. Let me just look at it a couple different ways. Number one, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 says, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. Everyone say pure. Pure means don't let outside ideas or sin get into this. What I've created is phenomenal. Don't mess it up. Don't mess this up. Keep it pure because it's awesome. And he says, God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral, all right? So when you think about what God is saying here, he says, it doesn't get any better than what I've created it to be. In fact, if it's been a while since you've read Song of Solomon, go through it and just get a fresh perspective of what God is talking about when it comes to sexuality between a husband and a wife. It'll make everyone blush. I mean, it's amazing what God's talking about there. And so nothing about God is stoved up about this idea between a husband and a wife. He's actually for it. But here's the thing, you guys, and I got to you have to understand this, and then I've got to go really fast today. So please listen quickly. The issue God is after is not simply the physical sensations he gave your biology to experience and explore as you work these things out together as husband and wife. It's something deeper than that. So he gives us the vehicle called sexuality to the end of something called intimacy. So sexuality itself is not the goal. It's a vehicle, it's an expression God gave each of us as a husband or a wife to be able to express to the other one to achieve something different. It's the path to intimacy. And let me just give you a quick word picture, and I'll rifle through this today because I'm really trying to squeeze two sermons into one space. It's because you guys ask too many questions, and so I've just got to squeeze all this into this space. The issue, if think about this. God tells us that there are certain things we do in expressions of worship, okay? We clap our hands, we sing, we shout, we dance, we give, we study. All these things are expressions of worship. But the truth is, it's not simply so that we go through the motions of worship and feel good about ourselves. The point is, we go through the expressions of these so we connect with God. The point is the connection with God, not simply did you sing loud enough, did you give enough, did you study enough, it's did you connect with God? And this expression is the way we connect. In a very similar way, that's what sexuality between a husband and a wife is truly all about. Did he create it so that there are pleasurable sensations? Absolutely. And he created it so that as those things begin to happen in our physiology, that literally our brains respond to being welded together in a oneness, because when you have these bonding moments, it connects you with what you're connected to. Does that make sense? All right, now, I'm telling you right now, you have to listen a lot faster than this. All right. Here's the attitude God wants us to have about this. And it's going to shock you a little bit. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 3 through 5 says, the husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs. And some of you are like, what sexual needs? If you just thought that, you're the one we're talking to today. She has them, but they're probably buried under layer after layer after layer of your inability to connect in other ways. Some of you are like, I'm not coming back to this church because you're meddling in my world. Well, don't get me wrong. I'll talk to the women here in just a second too, okay? So I'm an equal opportunity offender today. I'll make everybody mad. It's just awesome. And the wife should fulfill her husband's need. Oh, he's a pervert. Well, hold on. Shh. The Bible's saying, husbands, your wife has sexual needs. Fulfill them. Wives, I created that man with some sexual needs. You're the vehicle for that. Fulfill them. Then he says this. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. What does that mean? See this big old body of mine? I don't get to drive this around based on what I want out of life. This body belongs to my wife over there. That's my wife. Look at this fabulous body of yours. And I am riveted to that fabulous body of mine sitting over there. The picture is, you're not your... In fact, that's... Let me just give you the scripture. I'm so excited about this. I love it. God's going to set a bunch of you free. Do not deprive each other sexual relations unless you agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourself more completely to prayer. But afterwards, you should come back together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. What is he saying? Write this down. Our bodies are not our own. Our bodies are not our own. Our bodies are not our own. Say, I have no right to my body. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? But the Bible says, listen, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Jesus redeemed you. He was trying to deliver you from the fallacy that you own yourself. That's good preaching. You guys are not responding today, but I'm going to edify myself a little bit. Our bodies are not our own. But listen, that's not a license to demand, manipulate, or control the other spouse. This is about your attitude toward your spouse. Okay? So let me talk about this. Tips for husbands and wives in marriage sexuality. I'm going to talk first to husbands. And as I do this, wives, this is not for you. Shut your ears off. Don't listen to what I'm saying, because you'll try to use it over him and it'll ruin it. Okay? So this is just for men. Husbands, listen to this. Every one of the points I'm about to cover are choices you make in spite of your feelings. In spite of your feelings. These are choices you make in spite of your feelings. Because you're the only person on the planet ordained by God to meet these needs in your wife. And if you don't do that, you are leaving her vulnerable and exposed, and you're violating a role God gave you. So here's what I'm saying. Number one, be sensitive to every problem and stress your wife is experiencing. All right, husbands, key to sexuality and connectedness and sexual expression with your wife is being sensitive to the problems and stress your wife is experiencing. She is not created like you. As men, you and I can have a wreck on the way home. We can have left the job being fired that day. We can have walked in feeling like we've got the flu and we'll want sex. Women are completely different than that. Because men are very compartmentalized. None of that stuff messes with each other. They're all in tiny little boxes and they don't connect with each other. Women are like a big spaghetti bowl. Every noodle touches everything, and it's just that way. All right, so the bottom line is you have to pastor your wife. You got to pastor your wife. Husbands, pastor your wives. Nurture her, protect her. Do not leave her feeling unattended to, exposed, or vulnerable. She cannot sense, here's the bottom line. If she can't sense your care, your pastoral care about her needs, she cannot open up to you sexually. So you're the initiator. It has nothing to do with sex. It has to do with nurture. Number two, be sensitive to her different nature. Her different nature. Not only is she connected with every aspect of her life all in one big confusing bowl of whatever, she has a completely different nature than you. Which means women need open and honest communication and non-sexual touch and affection, which is completely foreign to men. So nothing about this is natural. It's a choice you have to make. But if you make it, you touch a part of your wife that actually opens in a different dimension of who she is, and she begins to respond with sexual expression. But you can't go straight at sexuality with her. She isn't created that way. Number three, be romantic to her in her language. Be romantic to her in her language. It's nothing like what you think, and it's nothing like what the movies show. In other words, she needs to feel pursued, studied, pursued. She needs to feel desired. She, not the body. She. Talk to her. Pay attention. Cards, letters, flowers, all that. And guys, this is crazy. It's like, flowers? Are you kidding me? That means nothing. Listen to a, here's what those things mean to her. I'm thinking about you. You have my attention. I got to keep moving on. Number four, because I got to spend a minute or two with this one. Be pure in your thoughts and actions. Be pure in your thoughts or actions. Guys, listen to me. We are bombarded with images and ideas in media, on the internet, in advertisements, in conversations. We're bombarded by ideas and images that aren't pure. They're wrong. Every time you open your mind to sin, whatever sin touches, it kills. It kills. Don't bring sin into your sexuality. As awkward as this may feel to you, think about it this way. My sexuality and my expression to my wife is not about me. It's what does she need? I have to be pure in my thoughts and pure in my actions. Don't bring sin into your sexuality. Get off the pornography. Turn, listen, most, and it's just, men, we, And I should have said this a minute ago. The truth is, about 20 or 30% of the women are more sexual than their husbands. But I'm talking in a general sense. God wired us visually. So when you see things, it registers. You can't unsee things. So number one, don't inordinately fuel what sin wants to do by exposing yourself to that stuff. If you happen to be in the theater and you can tell the music starts and this clothes start coming off, don't just sit there and go, well, I'm in a theater, there's nothing I can do about it. Yeah, that's stupid, Pastor Dave. We're adults around here. Yes, exactly. And you can't unsee what you're about to see, so don't see it. Do y'all feel it? Your wife needs to know that she is not being compared to anyone else in your mind. Don't let anyone who hasn't paid the price of bearing your children be compared in your mind to who she is. Be pure. So I'm going to give you four pointers, and that's a big one. Be pure. Yeah, but Pastor Dave, you don't understand. I know. I do understand. I'm a guy too. But I'm telling you, if you guard yourself, you'll watch what God does. Guys, jot this down. I need to express 100% of my sexual expression towards my wife. 100% of my sexual expression has to be to my wife. I can't direct it to me. It's not about me. God designed it so that my sexual expression is 100% towards my wife. I got to move on. What I'm trying to get to in this is sexuality is about a connected soul-to-soul experience. It is not about a particular sensation that you feel and experience physically. So you got to direct it to your wife. All right? Now, wives, I got to talk to you for a few minutes because all the husbands are mad at me right now. So husbands, turn your ears off. This is not, and don't poke her in the arm. Don't even look at her. Let her think you're thinking about the Cowboys or something. Wives, every one of the points I'm about to talk to you about are choices you have to make. You are the only person on the planet ordained by God to attend to the needs he put in your husband. If you don't attend to them, you leave him vulnerable and exposed. Now, for either case, this is not licensed to sin in either case. But I want you to know full well, if you're a wife, you're the only one ordained by God to meet this particular need in the man he gave you as a husband. Men, you're the only one by God designed and ordained to meet the need of your wife. If either of you leave the other exposed, you're opening avenues of temptation to the darkness, to the devil. Got it? All right, so wives. Number one, communicate to your husband that you accept his different sexual nature as valid and God-given. Accept it. And let him know, I accept that. We're different, but I accept that. All right? Most men are more sexual than their wives. But a lot of times, wives get this attitude like, you know, what's wrong with you? I mean, there's something definitely wrong with you. I mean, 15 minutes ago, we just went through that. You want it again? What, are you a pervert? I mean, I don't understand this. I mean, nothing about this makes sense. You've got to be messed up somewhere in your mind. You don't understand. A lot of times women think men shouldn't want that much sex, but they're actually designed by God with a real drive inside of them. And you think, well, my job is to kill this monster. I'm going to starve this monster out because if I feed this thing, it's just going to overwhelm my life. Look at me right in the eyes, ladies. That's a bad idea. Okay, listen, I don't know if you've ever connected the dots on this. The psychology involved here is we want what we can't have more. So the way you start addressing that isn't by starving it. You meet the need. Does that make sense? Okay. Again, now listen, men, if you're stoking the coals with pornography and you got all kind of weird stuff going on, then this is not a one-to-one equation. So that's why I talk to you, for you got to be pure in your thoughts and mind, because there is a drive inside of you, but it can be artificially jacked up with wrong ideas. So you do your part, get pure, stay pure and all those things. But women, he does have a more of a drive, and starving it to death isn't going to kill it. What happens is men begin to feel rejected. Now listen to me closely, ladies. Most men are completely out of touch with every feeling except rejection. We get that one just like that. We feel rejected instantly. So please pay attention to what's going on. They will associate a rebuff as rejection. So if there are legitimate reasons why things can't just kind of unfold like everybody's wanting everything to, then communicate. I accept you the way you are. Listen, let's get creative here, those kinds of things. And let him know that this doesn't mean you're a pervert. That we're, everything's good. I see you and sense you and feel you the way you are, and we're gonna take care of this together. So just be sensitive to that. Number two, be creative and energetic in meeting his sexual desires. Be creative and energetic in meeting his sexual desires. Now, I need to be honest with you. There are some sexual desires that are incompatible between people. This does not have anything to do with anything that's damaging, hurtful, or things along those lines. But where you can creatively find the points where you can agree on, be creative and energetic in meeting those needs. All right? And I will say, honestly, you guys, that some of these areas, sometimes things just get out of whack and you need intervention and counsel. Reach out and get some counsel. If things just get off the tracks, reach out, bring some other people in, and allow them to help reset you in these areas. But I gotta keep moving on. Be energetic and creative. Number three, be organized. You're like, what does that mean? I'm not saying being a neat freak. I'm saying be organized. In other words, have a plan. If for example, maybe Tuesday nights are kind of your night there at your house. And if you'll say to him on Saturday, now, sweetheart, Tuesday, you say to him, Tuesday's coming. Tuesday's coming. And big boy, I've got plans for you on Tuesday night. You have locked his radar on you for 4 days. Because Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and all day Tuesday, he's just thinking about you. It's amazing. Just tell him, be organized. And you watch, when he'll come straight home. He'll get off work early and come straight home. He will help with the dishes. He will vacuum the carpet. He'll help with the kids. It's amazing. If you get organized on some of this stuff, he will rock. Be organized. And then finally, number four, be sexual towards your husband. Be sexual towards your husband. It's like, I don't feel like it. Nothing about me feels sexual. Learn it. Okay, just the other day, CJ and Sabrina got married down in Rocky Point. It was awesome. Had a beautiful wedding. It's phenomenal. And everybody come back to the message. I'm telling you about an example. So in the middle of this wedding celebration afterwards, we got up and we were just kind of dancing and all kinds of stuff. I grew up Pentecostal. I cannot dance at all. I dance like a tree trunk. That's about it. My wife loves to do that kind of stuff. So guess what I chose to do? Go through the line. Everybody's watching, and I'm trying to find my way to go through a line doing some kind of stupid. I look like an elephant, all right? But I did it because this means something to her. I would have rather sat down and drank tea until it was done. I don't want to do that, but I know it means something to her. So guess what I was doing? I was out there, you know, whatever I could do, right? Why? Because it means something to her. I didn't feel like doing that, but I did that for her because she loves it. And she let me know. She said thank you afterwards. Listen, be sexual. Choose to be sexual towards your husband, all right? Dress sexually for him at home. Flannel is not God's gift to your husband. It's a bad idea. Long t-shirts, no. Let his needs determine the choices that you make. Now, and we're kind of laughing a little bit. And I realize this is a delicate and sometimes painful situation in homes. Please hear me. What I'm saying is God designed this in a way that these things work together for the good of both of you if you choose to do this. Here's what I want you to remember. God put a sex drive inside your husband that can drive him home to you. God gave you the gift of sexuality so you can draw him home to you. Does that make sense? So use the gift of your sexuality to draw him home and meet him there. Let me talk to both husbands and wives. Everything God creates, he creates to operate based on his nature. And he, the Bible says, in the form of Jesus Christ, demonstrated he is a servant. Mark 10, verse 45 says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. What am I saying with this? God did not give us pointers and practical applications when it came to sexuality just to make each other feel good physically. There is something God wants to do to help us connect. And we connect when we serve each other. Why? Because when we serve each other, we're open, and intimacy, soul to soul intimacy, can actually flourish. That makes sense? So God's point in all this wasn't to make either husband or wife feel awkward about it. He said, hey, I've created a space in your covenant that draws both of you together in a way that nothing else in the world can compete with. Keep it pure and make it right and let it happen. How? By serving each other. God created marriage to operate like this. Write this down. Two servants in love. How is marriage supposed to work? Two servants in love. At the mercy of each other and committed to serving each other's needs. Now, I need to shift gears and go into part two of this message. But the truth is, if somewhere along the line you're going to need some intervention or some perspective, then in the spring, we'll actually have some marriage courses that we're going to offer in the life groups. There's some people here who really have a gift with some of those ideas. And the truth is, if you need actual ministry and intervention, just call us and let us know. We've got resources. We can help get a third neutral party in there to help recalibrate some of these things, because I know that sin has probably created distortions in people's minds and that there's pain. So I'm asking you to let God, with grace, reset some of those things and go, you know what? Let's start over, honey. Let's just start over. Draw the line. Let's start over. I need to learn how to meet your need with who I am. Got it? Let me talk to you for a few moments, just before we close the service, about roles in marriage. God gave men, husbands and wives, different roles in marriage. And he speaks to men differently than he speaks to women, because in the Garden of Eden, each of them sinned against him, but in a different way. Let me briefly set this up for you, then I'll talk about roles in marriage. Eve is the one that we associate with sinning because she ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The reality is, she started that whole path by talking to Lucifer in the form of a certain serpent. So Lucifer approached her in the form of a serpent. She began to exchange ideas with him and actually disregarded what God said, because she was basically saying, I know more than God, so I'm going to do what I want to do. I know more. The sin against God was, I know more. The rebellion against him was, I know more. Adam sinned completely different, and he sinned against God before Eve sinned. What do I mean by that? He was standing right there with Eve when that happened. How do we know? Because Eve turned and handed the fruit to him and he ate it too. So he was, get the picture in your mind. Lucifer approached Eve. There's Adam. Adam had been charged by God to have dominion over everything that creeps on the earth. All right, every creeping thing. Dominion is a violent word. It means subjugate by force. In other words, enforce God's order. So here comes Lucifer to his helpmeet, his wife Eve, begins to talk. He's listening to her talk and does nothing. His sin of rebellion against God was passivity. Ultimately, they rebelled against God, but ultimately what I'm saying to you is he did nothing. He was probably holding the remote, switching between channels on ESPN and what ESPN2 or whatever, you know, Eden Sports Network. In other words, he was disconnected. He did not operate in his role. Neither of them were connected to God. They disregarded his role. And as a result, sin entered in and devastated everything. So let me give you quickly what we realize from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. We'll talk about, and this is just the order it's in the scripture, roles to wives. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord of the church. But the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Let me say, ladies, what wives, this is what God is saying. Write this down. Submit everything you have and know to the responsibility of your husband. Submit everything you have and know to the responsibility of your husband. This does not mean you be a mindless doormat to an oaf of a self-centered guy. That's not what that means. It means women have been given by God a beautiful sense of perspective, intuition. They just sense things faster than guys do. Bring all that to your husband and say, when you're working on dynamics and situations in your home, say, honey, this is what I sense, this is what I feel, this is what I believe. And you submit that to his headship, which means ultimately he's on the hook for the outcome. But you can't do your part unless you submit that to him. So there's an openness to it. This is not, woman, I told you, go get me some sweet tea in that fridge. That's not that. The dumbest men ever are the ones that come to me and say, Pastor Dave, didn't the Bible say a woman's supposed to submit to her husband? I'm like, dude, you are so out of whack right now. I don't even want to answer you. That's not what this is about. This is about a woman, a wife, submitting everything she is and has to the headship of her husband, who's responsible before God with what happens in that household. But men, you have a responsibility as well. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives. What's he saying? Husbands, give up your rights. Give up your rights. You don't have a right to anything in your home. God gave you something, all that strength and stature for something else. Use your strength and power to benefit, lead, and defend your wife, family, and home. What am I saying? In general, God gave men a little bit bigger stature, a little bit stronger constitution. And he did that so that the man can be the protector of that home, the one who's on the hook for the direction of that home. This is our home. Here's how it works. Darkness, you cannot come in our home. Why? I'm the head of this household. I'm on the hook before God, and I won't let evil come in my household. I won't let evil dominate my wife. I will not let evil dominate my children. I'm not going to sit on the couch and zone out while havoc is wreaked in my home. I'm responsible. That's why God gave you strength and power and authority. And it has nothing to do with your desire. It has everything to do with your responsibility. Does that make sense? Now watch this. Watch what happens. If we get this right, then a husband is in the role that he is created as the leader and the defender of his home, who has the capacity to receive from his wife the gifts God brings to their home through her. And they have the synergy of both gifts working together. But that usually doesn't happen because of something else that's missing. A lot of people miss this whole picture because in the Garden of Eden, they see there are two players in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. But the reality is, there are three individuals in the picture God chose to reveal. Here's how a marriage works. There was Adam and Eve and God. God has a role in your life. God has a role in your marriage. And where most people actually derail in life is this one spot. Ephesians 5:21 goes roots of this, I think, go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. In other words, submit your gifts and responsibilities to one another. Submit, fulfill your roles under the role God has in your life. What are we saying? Write this last one down. Let God have his role as God in your life and marriage. Let God be God. Let's let God be God. So when it comes to roles and sexuality in marriage, we've talked about two big categories. When it comes to sexuality, it's an incendiarily explosive idea because of the way God designed our bodies to respond to each other. But the truth is, if you align it under the lordship of Christ and you do it his way, you'll get the benefit of being drawn together to the real goal, which has nothing to do with the physical sensations that hormones release in your body. It has everything to do with intimacy. And that only happens when a husband and a wife fulfill the roles that God's given them under his role as God. Does that make sense? Has this been helpful to you guys? All right, let's give the Lord a little thanks. I want to pray for you today. And I want to pray that God will give us grace. Because the truth is, there may be some things you heard on behalf of your husband or your wife. Or maybe you used to be married, but you're not now and wish that you could undo some things. There's probably, every one of us are probably going to walk out thinking, oh. But instead of that, let's let God reset this picture so that instead he's like, this is how I want you to live now. Let's draw the line. Let's step into a new season in the roles God's given us under the lordship of Christ. And let's let God create a new season for us. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness. Lord, your mercy and grace are phenomenal to us. It's hard for us to really comprehend how you love us so much. But today, God, as husbands and wives, men and women, Lord, we've been studying your scriptures, trying to figure out some things that are really confusing to a lot of us because of the mess of the world we live in. But the truth is, your word is not confusing. It's clear. I'm asking, God, you would give us grace as men and women to lean into your word. Holy Spirit, let grace flow in this congregation, I pray. Minister to your people in Jesus' name. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I want to say that there is a key that some of us need to make in this, a key choice some of us need to make today, and it really is that you're not actually living with God in his role in your life. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you just acknowledge, I'm not living in relationship with God. I completely disregard him. I don't bring him into anything I'm thinking about. I don't think about him through the day. I don't live my life for him. I just do what I want to do. Or you know you used to be in relationship with God, but now you're a long way away. You've drifted away. But today, you can sense God saying, that's not right. Come back to me. And you know you need a fresh start with God. In about 90 seconds, I'm going to lead this congregation through what's called a life change prayer. And if you're in here today, you know I need to make a qualitative decision with my life and give my life to Jesus and let him be God in my life. I need to repent and go his way. Then in about a minute, I'm going to ask that you lift your hand. I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask that you would slip your hand up and say, Pastor Dave, that's me. I'm making a life change prayer today. I'm giving my life to Jesus. I want to have a fresh start with him. All right, so if you're in here today, you're tired of carrying the weight of guilt and all the oppression of darkness on your own, you're ready to give your life to Jesus and live his way. On the count of three, I want you to raise your hand and pray this prayer with me. One. This is simple. Don't overthink it. All right, there's a whole lot we don't know that you're just going to walk through together and let the Lord show you step by step too. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand up in a moment just so we can connect person to person. And then we're going to pray together as a congregation. Ready? This is your moment. If if you're ready for life change, and today's your day. When I say three, just slip your hand up. Ready? Three. Slip your hands up. Just leave them up for a moment. One, two, three. Who else? Leave them up just for a moment so I can connect with you. Four, five. Who else? Anybody else? Six. Thank you. I see that hand. Who else? Thank you very much. God's doing something great in here. Anybody else? All right. You can put your hands down. Okay, everybody look at me just for a moment. Okay, six of you, I saw your hands. One, I'm not sure if that was a hand or a head scratch. So, but six of you raised your hand and said, that's me today. I want to say thank you for saying it's my day. And I want to say thank you for letting me help you make this first step. This is a first of many steps that you will live walking out a relationship following Jesus. So thank you for letting us do this. We're going to start this journey together. And it's going to be a simple life change prayer of repentance and giving your life to Jesus. You ready? Let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father, come on everybody. Heavenly Father, thank you for being good to me. Today, I receive you and the authority of your word. Jesus, forgive me for all of my sin. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Today, Lord, I'm giving every part of my life to you. Come into my heart, the core of who I am, and lead me forward as my God from this day through the rest of my life. I'll serve you forever in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.